following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda with you on this Monday. Glad to have you along for the ride. Lots of things going on the program today. Bo Pelini will be back with his press conference. It's the beginning of Wisconsin week, so we will hear from the head coach about Wisconsin and how the Huskers have been going in the off week. State volleyball tournament gets underway on Thursday. We have got a ton of area teams that are playing in the state high school volleyball tournament. We'll talk about that. Centura coach Allison Feeney is going to join us on the program today to chat about that right before the Pelini press conference when she gets done with her class duties. Also, it was announced this morning that Nebraska and Wisconsin are going to start another trophy, these trophy games in the Big Ten. Just, you know, Jimmy, it's one of those things that I guess you just have to accept that it seems kind of horky and dorky when you haven't been a part of it, when you come in and you try to make traditions. Of course, they had we have a rivalry game with Iowa and a trophy, and now we've got and the trophy is going to be cool. It's the Freedom Trophy, and it's going to honor the military and all things like that. So they'll be playing for the Freedom Trophy on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, like you say, it's a cool idea. It's not like the brown jug or these things that have went back until, you know, before 1900, though. You know, so when you start something new, it's just not a tradition thing yet.
It's a real cool trophy, and we're going to get it put up on the Facebook page here in just a little bit at ESPN Superstation. Bronze football stadium with an American flag extending from the center. One half of the outside of the stadium depicts the north section of Wisconsin's Camp Randall Stadium. The other half is the east side of Memorial Stadium. The stadium and flag sculptures sit on top of wooden base that is dedicated space for future game scores. And with the Big West, East, and West, the Huskers and Badgers will now play every year as members of the West Division. So that coming out, and Jeffrey will get that posted to our Facebook page here in just a little bit. So that has just come down as well. Nebraska rises to number 11 in the country as they move up with that bye week. No surprise there. What is a surprise is that I won Pigskin Pick'em.
Hey, way to go. Heck, you had a couple early, and I think we kicked that the other guy around because I had a couple games, and I knew I had him kind of sandwiched because I only had two games different than him, but I had the TCU, I think, game was a big kind of a key game to me. But how did it go? I mean,
I had Baylor.
Yes.
It wasn't hard to beat caller Matt, and Matt, thanks for participating, and he's the biggest loser of all time on Pigskin Pick'em because he went 1-9. 1-9, and all three of us missed Iowa, Northwestern, Iowa State, and Michigan State. Now, the Northwestern thing, that's a little hokey. It was a bad football game. Iowa, wow. Iowa State, I told you, if Kansas was ever going to get one, that was the one. And then Michigan State, I don't know that they look bad, but now you got to be worried about Ohio State. If they can put up that many points at Michigan State on what was supposed to be that good of a defense, that does not depict well for the future, especially for everybody that isn't a fan of Ohio State. And I kind of get the feeling, Jimmy, that there's 13 schools, well, 11, because Maryland and Rutgers don't count yet. They haven't experienced. I think there's that many schools that they really would rather have anybody but Ohio State win.
Yeah, you know, Ohio State's one of those teams, though, that did get better. You know, they went down to Navy, and they were behind in the fourth quarter, first game of the year, played Virginia Tech, got beat at home. And then they kind of, you know, went on, got some breaks, you know, beat Penn State in overtime. But, you know, they got better. I mean, they really, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get better as the season goes on. And they got better.
You get JT Barrett in there, a kid that wasn't supposed to be playing. Freshman, you get him in there. He's playing well now. He's understanding more. Tommy Armstrong, Taylor Martinez, Husker fans. It takes some time, you know. And so they're scary. They're scary again.
Where is, you were talking about Nebraska 11. Where did they move Ohio State to? What number did they put them at?
Ohio State is 7th in the coaches poll and 8th in the AP poll.
Okay.
And then the new power rankings will come out tomorrow night. So the Huskers are one slot ahead of Michigan State, who is ranked 12th.
With two losses, yes.
But we shouldn't be.
You know, if they got two losses, you know, you lose twice. I mean, it's not our fault they played Oregon.
It's just crazy. But me picking Baylor and Georgia Tech over North Carolina State, I guess those were the two I came. I had Louisville, Alabama. By the way, I got four right, and that was good enough to win. So
it was very.
But how about my tiebreaker, huh?
Were you right on? Did you hit it?
Huh? How about the tiebreaker? The total points was 50. It was 34 to 16? 36-14, and I said 35-14.
Yeah, what an amazing.
Of the Wisconsin-Purdue. So maybe I should stick to that kind
of
stuff.
I wonder if they'd had Texas A&M and Auburn in there, how we'd have done, if we'd have got another one wrong or another one right there.
Well, my.
But I told you.
Good Lord, Auburn. How many times can you give it away? And I don't care what happens if the quarterback wasn't ready. The center snapped it into his own butt. It wouldn't have mattered, Jimmy. There was so much surprising football on Saturday. And it's not ugly football. It's just that the other team dominated almost all of them, including like from Minnesota, Iowa, to A&M and Auburn. Who saw a lot of these coming and the way that they played out? Alabama probably should have lost to LSU. You know, Michigan State gets pretty much thumped by Ohio State. Baylor, after being behind, what was it, 14-3, then just kills Oklahoma. How can Bob Stoops not be catching heat down there? If people want Bo out for 9 wins every year, how does Bob Stoops stick around at Oklahoma? And I'm not saying he shouldn't. It's just that Phil Steele, once again, who had Oklahoma this year? Everybody had Oklahoma in the Final Four again this year. Quit picking them.
You and I did not.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff, I hope Doug or you, either one of us, you watch this play because Utah was one of my selections, and they're up 7-0, and the guy catches a pass, and he's going in for a touchdown. He goes through a little excessive celebration before the ball comes out, and it lays there for a while. I mean, if just anybody could have picked it up, but next thing you know, 99 yards the other way. I don't know if you saw that, but it's like one of my selections. They ought to annex Utah from the Union for 1 week. They should be out of the Union for 1 week for that play.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. And then Notre Dame just gives Arizona State. How many points did they just give them?
31-3, yeah. They gave them a bunch.
And then they're coming back and...
Then they give them again. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I'm glad I'm not an investor anymore. I do get in some pools. And you know, where you have to pick against spreads and stuff like that. But NFL yesterday, Rams 14-10 over the Cardinals. Carson Palmer tears his ACL. You got to be going, woohoo, I'm getting 7 and I'm up 4. And you throw two pick sixes? Duh.
You know what? Did any college football team, did one team that you look at, I mean, I think TCU, but did anybody else that you say, whoa, that this team kind of made a statement a little bit and looks like maybe they can get in?
How about my Sun Devils? Now, I did pick against them on Saturday, but at the beginning of the year, I threw Arizona State as a long-shot dark horse.
Right.
I'd like to have that ticket right now.
You know,
I don't think they're going to win the national championship because I don't think that they're that good, but what you got to do now is just get in.
You know, if you're a one-loss team right now, the two teams you're cheering for are Florida State and Mississippi State. You want them to keep running the table because they're going to get in with zero losses. And if they're going to take care of a lot of other people, out of the way. You know, Mississippi State, if they could just go undefeated, look how many people they'll knock out of the championship series. So you want Mississippi State to win every game if you're like a Nebraska or if you're like an Ohio State or if you're like a Baylor or a TCU or you're an Arizona State or a Baylor. You want them to continue to win because if they do, they're going to get a lot of other teams with two losses in there and they're going to take them right on out of it.
I understand your point, but I don't think I agree with you because I think Mississippi State can lose twice and then that drops them out. That drops them out because they still have Alabama and Ole Miss to play. And I get that then Alabama moves up. But there's still the championship game. There's other ways for those teams to get beat. Auburn has to play Alabama. Somebody's out right there. One of those teams will be out right there.
Auburn's out. Already. Auburn's out.
They're ninth.
They're out.
They're ninth.
How many losses
they run
got?
The table?
How many
they
have losses?
What if they run the table?
They're out. Well, I'm just saying Auburn is out.
I think today I would rather have my chips on Mississippi State losing two games and then them getting out. Taking my chances on Alabama losing another one of those games. Because if you say Auburn is out, then Alabama's the only team left from the SEC that could get in. You got Mississippi at 10, Auburn at 9, and then if Mississippi State gets two losses, all that leaves is Alabama. And if they lose to Auburn, can you imagine a playoff without an SEC team? It will not happen. It will not happen. If it comes down to a two-loss team getting in, Jimmy, they'll be in.
Well, Southeastern Conference will have one representative, yeah. That's for sure.
And there's no doubt that they could have a two-loss representative with just that little scenario.
Yeah, the only thing I was thinking, if Mississippi State would, let's say they lose one game and don't get into the game, they don't get into the Southeastern Conference game, that would be the team they would take, would be the second Southeastern Conference team. So what I'm saying, the Southeastern Conference is going to be represented. I'd have to think that's going to happen for sure.
Yeah, and so under that, that makes even more sense now because it just as well be, if you're going to have somebody in there, it just as well be Mississippi State.
Yeah, because they're undefeated and they're only going to be the only one in.
For a couple of reasons too, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have more confidence playing Mississippi State than Alabama, Auburn?
Yeah,
you line up and you go, God, they're here every year. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're going to play Mississippi State in California.
Right. And Florida State doesn't look great. So if they can run the table, you know, they have to beat Duke. And I don't think Duke will get in. You know, I mean, Duke's a one-loss team, but I don't think Duke will get in.
What'd Jeff say? They play Miami this week, right?
Florida State.
And they're a two-point favorite?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, this team.
What?
Hey, you look at.
Because they can't stop the run? What's going on?
Well, Florida State, you know, they're like one thing, you know, you've got to remember this is Vegas. Right now in Vegas, Alabama is, you know, has got the highest statue. You know,
doesn't that surprise you?
What's that?
That it's only a 2.5
points. Oh, no, I guess the only.
They're saying that Miami's going to win the game.
I think, Jeff, if you looked it up real quick, I think Florida State's like 2-9 against the spread this year, maybe even 1-8 or whatever, how many games they played. They are, so what's going on right there, that's about saying, hey, these people are going against Florida State, they're killing us. So I think that has a lot to do with it. That spread should be about 5.
Jimmy, 3-3 in his picks over the weekend, got hurt in the Utah game.
Especially when the quarterback got hurt, too. Yeah.
So lost Alabama, Birmingham, and then Tampa Bay. Yeah. When you got two bad NFL teams, I guess one of the rules, there's all kinds of rules, right, in handicapping. Yeah. One of the rules is when 1-6 is playing 2-5, stay away.
I wish I would have.
How did the week that we finally get off the Jets? I mean, I should have seen it coming. I play Ben Roethlisberger in Fantasy League. I don't take him in my contest. And the Jets, that is. I've had him like 4 straight weeks. Should have seen it coming. But Virginia, Arizona State, and the Kansas City Chiefs, all winners for you. And maybe the Chiefs, kind of a lucky win.
Yeah, no kidding. And yeah, the Chiefs could have gone the other way. Actually, if you want to talk about it, Doug, Kansas City, I was lucky to win. Probably Utah, I was unlucky, you know, because of the quarterback situation. But Florida State, I guess, is 2-7 against the spread. And one of them was the Louisville game where they scored all those points late.
Yeah, they were down 31-28 and got a meaningless touchdown at the end. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was against Wake Forest when they won 43-3. We need to take a break because Allison Feeney is going to join us, talk a little Centura volleyball. They're back at state for the first time in 26 years. We'll run down the bracket, update the state football playoffs, and then Bo Pelini's press conference during Wisconsin week. A lot more to get to after this.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trained.
trusted and compassionate service.
Warner Liske, McBride & Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Warner Liske, McBride & Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Opening soon, NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of our newest rental store at 2608 32nd Street, Suite C. Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact us for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As we stay with mostly cloudy skies today, temperatures will stay fairly steady or falling as northwest winds will stay gusting around 20 to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, there's a chance for some flurries as we head back in the mid-teens. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 37.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bo Pelini's press conference is going to be coming up. Let's take you through a Monday at the Chicken Coop. Monday Night Football, Carolina and Philadelphia. You can watch the Panthers take on the Eagles. We'll see how that all plays out tonight. Get your Coop Koozie. Enjoy 12-ounce cans of your favorite beverages for only a dollar when you purchase the Coop Koozie for $5 every Monday night. And the lunch special on Monday at your original sports bar and grill, the Chicken Coop in Kearney, is the steak sandwich with your choice of side, $7.49. Lunch specials are served every day from 11 to 4. Different lunch special every single day because why? Well, you're hungry every single day. That's why. That's why, people. That's why that would happen. You're hungry every single day. The Chicken Coop is there for you with afternoon appetizers, long necks, and they are special on the draws as well. 2 to 5:30 at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Oh, glad to have you along with us on this Monday Doug and Daddy show. So many things that I want to get to. I want to jump on them right now. We got the press conference coming up, but Jimmy, I've come across three cancer stories. And that's nothing you want to jump up and down about, but there's at least two of them, one by Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald about Spencer Lindsay, his brother Matt, who lost his battle very quickly. Diagnosed in February, passed away in May. I just can't. It's just terrible, but it's a great story written on about Spencer in the Omaha World Herald. Go to omaha.com. Paul Riley, the father of Brandon Riley, who I have known a long time. Paul's from Spalding. That's my neck of the woods up there about Ord. Played ball against him out of school. Was a great player here at UNK back in the day, Kearney State. And Steve Sipple has a column about Paul Riley, who is currently going through cancer. He will have to have a bone marrow transplant in December. And I know there's a lot of people that know Paul, were teammates with Paul. The story makes you grin a little bit because it does capture the energy, if I could say that, that Paul has always had. This is a guy that's got the hammer down at all times, and he's pretty fun to be around. But he's got a lot of energy, and when cancer gets you, that kind of takes care of you. And then, of course, the community of Kearney does a great job coming out yesterday for We Know Him as Bo, Officer Frank Bohawk over there. They had a fundraiser for him. He's got stage 4 cancer. My gosh, Jimmy. I mean, prayers to all of these people, first off. But we're having the runs. We're having all this. We're trying to find a cure. I hope they're getting closer because it seems like more people, and of course there's more people in the U.S., I get it, but more people, I don't know, it just seems to me, are afflicted by cancer than I can ever remember. I just don't remember it being that way when we were growing up. I don't know if it's the society we live in, if it's the things we eat, if it's what's around us, but wow.
No, and I think the thing of it is when you're talking about with the cancer and the stuff, it's that, and not only that, Doug, how these people are trying as best they can. I mean, they're going through radiation and the treatments that they go through, and how much they, you know, how much you suffer through that stuff. I mean, it is absolutely amazing.
And it's not just the person; it's the family.
Oh, the whole family,
it's
friends,
the community.
Yeah, and those people, most people, you know, have always been so upbeat, and they're having it. I mean, you know, this is really when you're having a bad day and you're kind of going, oh, man, I'll tell you what, this guy from Utah fumbled. I'm really upset about this. Hey, you know, let's get things in perspective. You know, losing a high school football game or losing a Nebraska football game is really meaningless when you start talking about real things, mm-hmm. in cancer, in any type of heart disease, any whatever that might be. Yeah.
And Coach Brad Nelson's going through it at Axtell right now. His team's going to the state volleyball tournament. We knew Coach Baronic when, I mean, it seems like it just never goes away. So there are so many afflicted, and they keep battling the great battle. We'll talk with Coach Nelson later this week as they get ready for the state volleyball tournament. They made it last year, but they're looking for their first win at state since they won it all back in 93. It's kind of the same story at Centura. They're back for the first time since winning it all back before we even remember if the volleyball was round or not. 26 years for Centura, and Coach Allison Feeney joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda along with Jim Langan. And Coach, hey, congratulations. Everybody's got to be jumping up and down.
Yeah, it's one of those things where at this school district it maybe hasn't happened in quite some time, so we're going to relish in it this week. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So.
Well, there's a couple avenues we can look at here. There has been a lot of great athletes because obviously Kathy and the basketball team have really dominated their sport for a long, long time. What did it take to get over the hump and back where the volleyball team was years and years ago?
Well, I think after I took over the program 3 years ago, I think you can see a few things of the writing on the wall. You knew you had the athlete base here. It's just convincing those girls that they can be, you know, basketball stars and volleyball stars. So I think it was a little bit more of a mindset thing just to let them know that, hey, we can do this. And it's one of those things where, you know, had I made it to state that first year, man, put a crown on my head, I would have been looking amazing. But, yeah, you have to build a program. And, you know, 3 years of doing all of that preliminary fundamental stuff. And finally, this one particular group that I've been working with, you know, for 3 years now, it's just, it really shows that they're starting to click and understand the basics, and now we can kind of amp up the game a little bit. So,
and 6 seniors, I'm guessing the sense of urgency was there for that group.
Oh, sure. When we met this summer, we, of course, had goals in mind, and they were very, very explicit goals, and they knew what they wanted, and they were going to work hard to do that, whether it be our tournaments on Saturdays, whether it be conference goals. But that final goal written on our goal sheet was to make it to the state tournament, and so very exciting. And this is a group that if they set a goal, they're gonna work to attain it.
Hey, Jim Langan here. Hey, the whole season, when you're looking at your season, you're looking at it, your district and who's in it and et cetera, that the wild card was so critical for you. You had some big games down the stretch, you know. I guess when I look at your schedule, that had to be a huge win over Burwell and Sandy Creek. Your thoughts?
Sure, yeah. We kind of went through stages in the season. We kind of had a good opening few weeks and had a good run of 7-8 wins, and then we kind of run into conference and that buzzsaw, and then we come back and took on another 7 matches straight that we had a winning streak there too. And it was good. It was good to see a 5-set match against Sandy Creek, and it's good to also see teams that we played earlier in the season that Honestly, they probably didn't look like that the first time we played them. They're a heck of a lot tougher the second time, and we can still run with them. So I think we needed that five-set match to show that we can hang with it and not give up, and we got to fight till that last point in that fifth set. So
we're talking with Centura head volleyball coach Allison Feeney. They get ready to play at the state volleyball tournament against Guardian Angels. Coach, you referenced there the conference tournament. That seems, when you just look at the schedule, to be the only bump in the road. You got upset by Adams Central, which is two things. A, the only non-rated team that you lost to was Adams Central. Everybody else that you played and lost to, as far as that goes, was a rated team. But you lost two volleyball matches that you would have gotten to play. Now, that may have affected the wild card points. I don't know how that would have played out. Maybe that's a blessing in disguise. But what happened? You had a long time there before you had to play again. That's always the danger if you get upset in any conference tournament, basketball, volleyball, whatever it may be. What happened in that 10-day stretch?
Well, I think, you know, volleyball gods or some sort of god was looking on our behalf and said that maybe we needed to go 0-1 that week and maybe not go, you know, 1-2 possibly. St. Paul and Ord are two very solid, complete programs this year. And it's, you know, neighboring communities. It's, you know, same counties. And so they're not going to play you lightly. So it's one of those things where we use that loss and it kind of set things into perspective, and we really, truly did need a lot of that practice time, and we became a different team at that moment, and we decided a lot of things needed to change if we had goals in mind to reach, and I think actually the volleyball gods were looking out for us, actually. It was kind of worked on our behalf, so.
Well, you draw Guardian Angels. C2 has got all kinds of talent this year. Tell me about your scouting report on what is usually a perennial power.
Well, I think it's going to be a very quick-paced game. They've got height, which we see every so often here. On our schedule, we have three or four teams that typically will run into us some height. But for, on the average, who we're playing, whether it be in the Lou Platt or whatever, we don't come across too many 6 foot, 6'2 players. And so we're going to run into height. We're going to run into a fast offense. We are going to have some tough servers. They've got some nice stats after scouting them. And just starting to look at film today, then, too. It's going to be a ball game for us that we're going to have to defensively be on the go. So,
and last minute here with Allison Feeney, the head coach at Centura. Coach Zavala and Central Catholic has also made it back in. Tell me a little bit about what you've taken from your playing days to your coaching days.
Well, it was kind of exciting over the weekend after receiving the wild card. You dig out the old scrapbooks and the old memories and things and realize how much of an opportunity and how much of a just an amazing experience it is to be able to have this for your girls and as a player. And she does a pretty good job of preparing her athletes for state, and I just hope that maybe I can set that precedent and that tone to here in the future be able to have that experience and have it mean so much that these girls are going to want to go back year after year. And coming from a program like Central Catholic when I was growing up, and in my era I won, you know, 3 years in a row, that's unheard of, you know. And so it's like you try to get that mindset into the girls now that I'm coaching now this time around, and it can be done. It really can be done, and it's such a fun, exciting time, and I hope that we're starting to breathe that attitude around here. So,
well, it's pretty cool when people walk up to you and say, well, we'll see you in Lincoln, and that means you're going to be on the court. So, Allison, thanks for giving us some time. We heard the buzzer. Lunch is over. We got to get you back to work, so we'll let you do that, okay?
Good enough. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks. Allison Feeney, head coach Centura, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We will have the Centura volleyball game for you on Classic Hits 98.9. We have got a ton of games. We're just finishing out the actual broadcast schedule, but I think if I have all my sheets, and of course, look at this. Look at this. What does this look like in here, Jimmy? Does this look like my filing system? I think it does. Here's what we got for you, at least as of now. C1, Lincoln North Star. Central Catholic Concordia 1:30, Kearney Catholic Ashland Greenwood 5:30. Those will be on 98.9 FM. In between, the C2 will be at Lincoln Southwest, Centura Guardian Angels at 3:30. We will also have Sutton and Freeman at 5:30 on the Breeze 94.5, St. Cecilia Elmwood Murdoch 7:30 on 12:30 AM KHAS. The Axtell Cedar Bluffs match is at 3:30 on Thursday at Lincoln Northeast. That'll be right here on ESPN Radio. And then in Class D2 on the Breeze, 94.5. Giltner and Crawford at 1:30. Bertrand and Lawrence Nelson, 7:30, will be on 98.9. And we'll get all that up here in the next day or two on PlatteRiverPreps.com. So there's plenty there. We've also got Grand Island Northwest playing Elkhorn at 3:30, Aurora and Norris at 5:30 at Pinnacle Bank, Southern Valley and Crofton at 1:30 to start the day at Lincoln Southwest, Ansley Litchfield and Brady, 1:30 at Lincoln Northeast. There are a ton of volleyball teams. I don't remember being this many from what I consider just right here in the listening area of about an hour any way you want to drive. That's a lot, Jimmy.
Yeah, this area has always been fairly competitive in volleyball. I have to say that, Doug, wouldn't you, that state championships in this area have been kind to us in volleyball.
And football gets underway as well tomorrow. Here on ESPN, Elm Creek at Creighton, Kennesaw at Falls City Sacred Heart on Classic Hits 98.9. Bundle up if you can get to the games. I know they're long drives. If not, we'll have the 3:30 pregame and kickoff at 4. Kearney Catholic, wow. Congratulations to our buddy Randy Bushcutter. His boy Grant hits the game-winning field goal, but the team does what they do. It's just a special time, anytime that can be. 22-21 over SCOTUS. They'll host Boone Central and Newman Grove, 7 o'clock Friday. Kearney Catholic gave him a great game last year in Albion in the playoffs, lost 35-28. Cozad at Ashland Greenwood. That's a rematch of last year's state final. This will be at Ashland Greenwood at 7. Grand Island gets another crack at Omaha North. That's at 7 in Omaha.
You know, Randy Bushcutter and I were talking last year, and this would have been, man, I'm going to talk about football season had just ended, and we're talking about like January, and he goes, hey, Jim, is there any way you can find me some footballs? You know, Grant, we might get a good day, and you know, it's like 12 degrees outside. We're looking for a good day. It's supposed to be like 25 degrees. We're thinking about going out and kicking, and he's going, and you know, and I remember that story, and I thought, you know, and as I'm watching the game, that they're chasing this extra point. I thought, ah, dang it. I mean, you know, because, you know, he missed an extra point. And hey, you know, sometimes it's the snap. Sometimes it's the hold. It's a lot of things it can be, maybe. And I was at the game, and I really, you know, but next thing I'm knowing, that ah, dang it, I just, you know, this is going to be, and then he gets a chance to win it and does, and then Randy, you know, just the way he calls it, he's trying to be, you know, there's no way you could do that. I mean, and he did such a professional job, though, of the way he called the game. You know, I mean, it really was nice, and because, you know, we know him, we work with him, it was kind of a special thing, and you know, Kearney Catholic's kind of on this roll. I mean, there's been a couple teams I remember that have won state championships in basketball. I'm going to go with basketball. That, you know, they there was a team in 1975 with Louisville, won a game by 1 point in the semifinals, and then they won in overtime.
And then they
won a game by 1 point to get to the state tournament. And they won all three games by 1 point in the state tournament. You know, hey, they could have got beat in the semis. No one would have said anything.
It hurts.
You know, but Kearney Catholic
went
one by one. You know, hey, how many? Let's keep winning by one.
As long as you win, it keeps hurting the heart,
yeah.
Though. Hey, we are here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, continuing to grow and seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals to fill their team. Great benefits and a great career. Go online to MidwayCareers.com. See their full list of jobs. You can apply online. Customer service reps, technicians, product specialists, so many different areas that you can be a part of the Midway team. And no experience is needed. They'll train you. They want to take care of you with Midway. Help yourself, help Midway, and get that career going today. MidwayCareers.com. And for the new or pre-owned vehicle that you're looking for, go to Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, or thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Bo Pelini's press conference next.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fixed Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Reason for weekends is at Buzz's Marine and Kearney. Whether you want a fishing boat that can deliver a great time for the whole family or a tournament-ready fishing rig, fish from a smoker craft, America's first family of boats powered by Yamaha Marine.
I meet my buddies out on the lake. We're headed out to a special place we love.
From the huge live wells and casting platforms to the smooth, stable ride, smoker craft boats are the best value on the water. See the lineup today at Buzz's Marine, celebrating 50 years of trust, 5th and Central Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Apparently, while I was at work this morning, the weather changed, Jimmy.
Man alive, did I wear the wrong clothes.
I thought I was walking into the Midtown Mart. That's how cold it is. Home of the coldest beer and coolest topics, Midtown Mart of Hastings. We asked you over the weekend, what's your season outlook for the Creighton men? Will they get back to the NCAA tournament? Or will they be in the NIT tournament, or will it be worse? Ooh, 75% said no NCAA tournament. They're picked ninth in the Big East. Hey, if you were a Major League Baseball pitcher, would you rather throw a perfect game or win the Cy Young Award, Jimmy? That's our ESPN Superstation Midtown Mart. Cooler question of the day, ESPNSuperstation.com. You know what? I think I'd rather win the Cy Young Award because it's a year-long consistency. Anybody can step up. Not anybody, but I mean, if you have that day, a perfect game. And again, it's memorable. There's more Cy Young Award winners than there are perfect games. But when I saw the question, it just popped in my head. I think I'd rather have the Cy Young Award.
I think Cy Young's going to make you more money, you know. But the perfect game, I think that's what I'd want to watch. If I went to a Major League Baseball game, you know, I'd say, hey, you know, that guy's a Cy Young winner.
Seen one? You ever seen a no-hitter in person?
Nope, never. Well,
At a Major League game?
No. I've umpired a couple. And I umpired one where the game was 4-0, and the kid had a no-hitter, and he came up to bat, and I called him out. Go ahead.
Well, it looks like Bo's ready to go. Let's head to Lincoln. Bo Pelini and his weekly press conference.
Go ahead. Get started. Had a productive bye week, got a lot done, and got back to work yesterday. Came a couple of days off on the weekend and got back to work yesterday and getting ready to roll.
Is the beer practicing or are you ready to go?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you know, we'll see on Saturday, but I would anticipate him playing.
Did he practice?
What's that?
Did he practice last week?
No, we didn't practice. But he worked out on the field.
How much of an extra emphasis did you guys put on the quarterback center exchange during practice in the bye week?
Same we always put on it. You know, I mean, that's always an emphasis, obviously, and you know, like I said before, it's not something that really creeps up in practice. We got to make sure we just eliminate it in the game, and wasn't an issue for whatever 7 weeks or whatever it is, so I wouldn't anticipate it being an issue going forward. But it's always something that, I mean, look at Auburn the other day. It's always something that can creep up and get you at any time. It's got to be. And sometimes people take that part of it for granted. You can't take anything for granted in this game.
Well, how much football did you watch Saturday? Did you kick back and relax?
I kicked back, but I didn't watch much football. I'll be honest. I spent a lot of time, you know, with the family and relaxed, and didn't watch a lot of football.
Talk about the 2012 game, you know, against Wisconsin. One big difference is you guys come in with, you know, the front four being a real strong. Can you talk about just the development of that front four this year?
Well, I think they've gotten better. I think they're playing pretty well. I think there's still a lot more out there for them. It's really still a pretty young group. We're not going to lose any of them, but I'm seeing them develop. I think they're playing well, and I see them getting better and more consistent at a lot of things, but still see a lot of areas where I think they can get better and keep developing.
When did you realize that Collins, and maybe in senior year of high school, maybe it was last year sometime, when did you realize that Collins was a potential star?
You know, we first got him. I mean, he's, you know, for a big guy. You know, I always compare him a lot to, he reminds me a lot of Glenn Dorsey. When I had Dorsey in LSU, which to me is high praise because Glenn was a heck of a player, and he's bigger. Malik's bigger than Glenn was at that point. And, you know, Glenn, when I first got to LSU, he was probably somewhere in the 275, 280 range, and but very athletic, explosive, you know, played well with his hands. And I see a lot of similarities in how they play and how they move and some of the things, some of their strengths. And like I said, you know, where Malik has it, Malik's a little bit bigger, you know, over 300 pounds and doing many of this, you know, similar things I saw Dorsey do.
He was a great high school wrestler. Did you see some stuff you had from that sport that would translate to the field?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, you got to have a certain mentality to be a wrestler, you know. I mean, just look at Manning. I mean, you got to be a little screwed up to be a wrestler, you know. and you got to have some explosion, feet, you know. You got to be a pretty good athlete to do the things you have to do to wrestle at a high level. And I thought that Malik certainly did. And, you know, and obviously I don't know, how do you put it, the competitive nature that he brings to the table, and just a total package. He's a pretty talented guy.
Nate Gary was in that same recruiting class. How well is he playing?
You know, Nate's playing well. He's really, I think he gets better each week. And, you know, I think he's gets more comfortable every week. You know, has a really good understanding of what we're doing. I think he plays well next to Coop. I think they communicate real well. I think they're on the same page. And I think he's really, you know, he has really good ball skills. And I see it. It's interesting because when, you know, he was, you know, I've said this, and I believe that him playing up helped him. But he didn't, some of the natural things he does at the, you know, it deep, didn't really come out some because he was a little bit of a, I think he was a little uncomfortable playing up, and you didn't see some of, you know, you, I didn't see some of those ball skills and things when he was up there. I think he was thinking too much and was a little bit, you know, maybe out of place, out of position as far as what he was used to doing. And, but you know, now you go back and he's, and I see, think that his ball skills have been a strength for him where, I wasn't sure where that was going to be coming in. Cause you know, you don't see a lot of that in high school of, you know, cause they don't get put in that position a lot. They probably throw away from him a lot. And, he was kind of a run fit guy, you know, came downhill and made a ton of tackles. But, I think that he's really developed well. I think he's going to be a great player before he's out of here.
Well, he said he's happier this year. Are you able to see that in his demeanor?
Yeah, I think his confidence is just growing. I mean, anytime you, you know, he was up there. We put him up there out of necessity a little bit, you know, because of our youth and trying to get him on the field. And, but he, you know, I don't know. You know, it's hard to be. You know, I think he was a little bit uncomfortable, and you know, was a team guy and did what we asked him to do. But you know, I think with his confidence, when you have, you know, it's a lot easier to play and play freely and do what you have to do when you have a tremendous amount of confidence. And his confidence is growing all the time because I think he has a really good handle on what we're asking him to do, how we do it, and it's enabling him to play at a high level.
How has their offense changed since the 2012 title? How is it the same?
It's interesting because it's a new staff, but it's very similar in what they're doing. It's really the same offense. I mean, there's some new wrinkles here and there, but they do a good job. They know what they want to do. They're physical. They're well coached, and they execute very, very well. It hasn't changed a lot. And you know what? It was probably a smart move on their part that kind of, you come in, you have a defensive guy taking over. Why mess with a good thing? And they haven't. They've done a good job of sticking with what they're doing. Obviously, spent a lot of time learning it and trying to figure out why they were doing things and how they did it. And they've put a good product on the field.
When did you kind of flush that Big Ten game out of your system, the title game, and does it rekindle at all this week for you?
No, it doesn't really rekindle for me. I mean, I don't know if you. I mean, me personally, I'll never flesh that out. I mean, that's something that'll always be there. it's hard to flesh that one away. But there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that was one of the most unusual games I've ever been a part of, and frustrating at the same time.
You guys, you're kind of following up on that. I mean, you guys. You've lost four of your last five on the road against ranked opponents. I mean, can you put a finger on maybe why you guys struggle in those types of games?
It's hard to play. It's hard to win on the road against good football teams in tough environments. But I know that those last five games won't have anything to do with what happens on Saturday. The team that executes the best is going to win.
So what do you think is the key to stopping that running game, since it's similar to what it was?
You need to execute our game plan. And we got to tackle well. They got good backs. It's going to come down to being physical up front, guys being disciplined and playing their gaps, and putting a face on somebody and tackling them when you get there. I mean, it's comes down to execution. Team that executes the best will win the football game, no question about it.
Style of offense stress that position, the safety spot a little bit more than others.
It stresses everybody. They do a good job of they get everybody involved in the run game and the pass game to a certain extent. And it's you got to play good team defense to play against an offense like this. Very disciplined, eyes in the right place, reading your keys, and like I said, executing at a high level. Everyone's going to have to tackle well. Everyone's going to have to read their keys and be disciplined and play in their gaps. And, to play great defense, it's got to be great team defense. And, I mean, you go look back at the 2012 game. I mean, we missed some one-on-one tackles and early in the game. We were out in space. And then it got our guys off kilter, and we had guys doing things that jumping out of gaps and doing things that you would have come out of that game saying, I pride ourselves on being pretty disciplined and pretty in what we do defensively and being in the right spots, being well coached, having all the things thought out and taken care of. And if you would look back at that game, you would have thought that you had a group that had never been coached before. For whatever reason, why that happened, I don't know, but it happened. I mean, I watched it. Unfortunately, I watched it again a number of times since then.
Last week, before you guys went back to practice last week, you had said that you would anticipate that Amir would be close to 100% this week. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, but I'm not a doctor. I don't know how it's going to play out, and we go off a little bit off of how he's feeling, and we'll find out Saturday.
When you have 2 weeks to prepare for a game of this magnitude, how do you avoid overcoaching?
Well, we don't overcoach. We don't approach it any different. And I mean, let me tell you, I hear, and I'm not you know, taking a shot or anything, but every game is of the same magnitude as far as I'm concerned. You know, you can't, there are no, I don't buy into the, this is a big game, this isn't a big game. Just watch college football. And you better be ready week in and week out. There are no games that are bigger than the next. And this happens to be the next one against a tough opponent in their stadium. But our approach won't be any different.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
So.
He's
a good player, so he'll, you know, it's hard to replace a really good player. We think he's a really good player, and if he can play, that'll be sure will be a bonus for us.
What was the injury he had? I don't know if you ever specified where he was out for.
He had a foot injury. I'm not exactly sure what we would call it medically, but it was a foot injury. But he, you know, he ran out there on the field yesterday. And he's been, you know, slowly but surely. We started about Thursday or Friday of last week, kind of, you know, putting him in the, you know, kind of gradually getting him up. And he ran pretty good yesterday. He'll run again today and see where he's at tomorrow.
And what do you remember about Camp Randall from a few years back, the atmosphere? How does it compare to some of the tougher road venues you've played at Nebraska here in the last few years?
You know, it's a great atmosphere. You know, the fans are, they're into it. They... it's loud every week. You know, I mean, it was even back to like that back when they weren't quite as good a football team when I was in the Big Ten, but it was still a pretty pretty loud place, good venue, good place to play. And obviously, when Coach Alvarez went in there and kind of got that thing rolling, it you know, it probably took the everything to another level, including the crowd.
You said Tommy was a little hard on himself, too hard on himself post-game after Purdue. Was he able to put that behind him and have a good week of practice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Tommy, you know, Tommy's a competitor and wants to be, you know, perfect, so to speak. And he probably puts some things on him that, you know, there were a couple things that happened in that game and it weren't necessarily his fault, but he doesn't look at it that way. And saw some things, you know, which any competitor does coming out of the game. You know, when you're really a great competitor, you come out of a game and you sometimes you remember you forget about all the good things you did, and there's those plays you want back, and it's hard to get those out of your head. And I think that's the case with Tommy. But it doesn't affect him, I don't think, going forward. He doesn't sulk or anything else. I think he understands that there's room for improvement and looks and takes the challenge to roll up his sleeves, go back to work and try to get better each and every week. And that's what our goal is really across the board. And it helps when you're, you know, one of your leaders, you know, in a position, especially a position at quarterback, you know, take that attitude, because I think it streams down the line to everybody else.
Well, this is now trophy game. The universities for both schools released the Freedom Trophy today. Have you seen the design of it? Your thoughts on that?
I actually haven't seen the design of it, but I know Sean and Coach Alvarez. They in the universities came up with the idea, and I think anything that you can do to honor the veterans is a good idea. And I think it's I don't think you can do enough to honor the people that the men and women who served our country. I don't think you can ever do enough. So I think it's a great idea.
Hey, Bo, I hate to revisit 2012, but generally it sort of makes me curious. When you have a night like that, what is your philosophy in sort of going back and studying it and learning from it versus? I mean, at what point do you keep going back and analyzing it? At what point do you just say, I can't do this anymore. You know, this isn't helping me. How do you do that as a coach?
Well, I think you have to, you know, I take the I have the attitude is you have to do that whether you play a great game or in that case a horrendous game, you know, or anywhere in between. There's always things that you have to look at that you need to learn from. You know, I think people make that mistake sometimes. It's the only time they really take a good hard look The only time they really is when it doesn't go right. Well, you know, a lot of times there, you know, like I've said this before, that, you know, there are a lot of times that things don't get magnified. You make errors or you make mistakes that you know can help you, are going to hurt you down the line, but just because you win doesn't make it okay. So I think you, regardless of what the result is, what you do the next day and how you evaluate it and what you do as a coach, as a player, as a team to keep trying to move forward and get better, that part of it has to stay consistent. So I don't look at that any differently. I don't put it under a magnifying glass any differently. I mean, you know, there was a lot more to look at. But, you know, how you evaluate it and how you move forward and what you try to do and try to figure out why, how you get things fixed, those types of things, that part of it doesn't change.
Do you recall a specific example of anything in that analysis or examination that you carried over or that helped you, you know, as a coach going forward?
No, there were some things that... You know, as a coach, you look at things, you know, there's two things you look at is what did you do structurally that weren't good? And then the things that just, you just blatantly didn't execute, trying to figure out why. Those type, you know, I mean, there's two different levels of it. And I think you got to look in every depth of it, of not just what didn't you get done, but why didn't it get done and try to figure, you know, and figure out how to fix it.
Is there a psychological component to that when you look at a night like that?
No. No, I don't think so. Because you know why? I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, when you look at the film, you know, in a situation like that, you have guys who sit there and you shake your head. Like, well, you know, I don't get it. You know, why did that happen? Well, you know, a lot of times, some of those guys are, you know, some of the things that happened, I mean, those guys, were, you know, most of the guys that are playing in this game had nothing to do, weren't even around.
Saturday, they were switching up their quarterbacks quite often, even play to play within a possession. How difficult is that to prepare for?
Well, I think they're different. You know, the one guy is more of a runner than the other guy. The other guy's more of a pocket passer. So just making your guys on defense aware of you know, kind of two different, I think, you know, if they were exactly the same, then, you know, you don't worry about it much, but they are a little bit different. So, you know, your players have to be aware of who's in the game. I mean, does everything change? No. And there's some things that, I mean, they don't change their whole offense, but they lean maybe towards some different plays here and there when the runner's in the game as opposed to Stave.
What have you seen from Melvin Gordon and just why he has so much success?
He's a good player. He runs hard. He's a, you know, they block things well. He understands how the offense works. And, you know, he's hard to tackle.
How much more is on Tommy, whether it's pressure or responsibility in a situation where he's not sure if he's got – a full strength Amir in the backfield with him, based on what he saw against Purdue, and then going through this last week.
You know, that doesn't change Tommy at all. I mean, Tommy's got his what he has to do to make our offense click and work, and regardless who's back there with him, I know Tommy has tremendous confidence in him. It's not like, you know, Amir's the only running back we have. I mean, he's a great player, and obviously you want a great player, but we got some other pretty capable running backs back there that are in there when he's not in there.
Santos, where's his health?
Santos is feeling good.
How much that helped to have him full speed running right?
You know, I think he's a lot more full speed and feeling better now that he made it through a game and has had some time off. So, excuse me, I think he'll be even feeling better this coming Saturday than he was last time we saw him.
How big is a guy like Drew Brown here down the stretch, and what have you kind of told him after some of the misses he's had the last few weeks?
I don't say much to Drew. Number one, I'm not other than telling him to hit a draw or a fade, I don't know much about kicking. But, you know, he, you know, we kind of joke around. You know, but, you know, Drew's, he's had a tremendous 2 weeks. Really, it's coming off really solid off his foot. I thought he went through a little bit of a funk for about a week, and he worked some things out. I think he's feeling a lot better, a lot more confident, and I have tremendous confidence in Drew. You know, I mean, I think he's a young player. He's going to continue to get better. He works at it every day, and you know, I feel good about our kicking situation, and I'm not going to sit there and, you know, I have other guys, other coaches on the staff who know a little bit, obviously, are more in tune in what's going on in the kicking game, and as far as the kickers are concerned, and we lean on those guys.
How come there aren't more kicking specialist type coaches in college football?
Well, it's hard, even in the pros. I mean, there's a few, but but all the special teams coaches aren't experts on kicking. You know, most of these kickers have their own coaches, guys that they go to in the off season and such. And like I said, you know, it's not something I'm not going to sit there and weigh in on something that. I mean, there are certain basic techniques that I can see that are obvious that, you know, you might make a comment here and there, but it's like messing with a golfer's swing. You know, if you it's about repetition, about hitting it strong, and it'd be hard to do. You know, I don't know if, you know, with the 10 coaches on your staff to be able to just hire a guy specifically for kicking, I don't know if it's feasible.
How much familiarity do you have with Coach Anderson from Wisconsin?
Not a lot, but I've got to know him a little bit at the meetings and such, and he's a great guy. I mean, a good guy. He's a heck of a coach, really good football coach who put together a really good staff. I have a lot of respect for what they do and how they do it, and he's they do a really good job.
Coach, with the punt blocking, is that something that was specific to Purdue that you saw, or is that something that you can develop as a weapon, any type of team?
Well, that particular thing was, we were looking to specifically exploit something that we thought was there. But, you know, I mean, every week's a little bit different as far as that's concerned. You look at what people are doing, you try to exploit it, exploit somebody, a weakness, perceived weakness somewhere, and in that case, we were able to do it.
Do you see that opening up more because you have such a good return,
Well, you know, when you're going for that many blocks, I mean, sometimes you've got to sacrifice something when you're going for the block that, you know, you're taking a chance you're going to get there because you're not blocking a lot of people. There's time. I think there are times to and times not to. We've mixed it up pretty good as far as going for the block this year, and at times, trying to set up returns, and at times playing some safe looks, and making sure you're very sound on fakes and that type of thing. So there's a lot to it. Thanks, guys.
And there you have it, Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you as the coach touched on everything from Amir to Drew Brown, the kicking duties, numerous players, and what Wisconsin presents out there. Jimmy, Wisconsin has the number one total defense in all of the country, not the Big Ten. All of the country. Their defense is ranked total number one, third in pass defense, third in scoring defense, fifth in rushing defense.
Yeah. And, well, luckily they haven't played a tremendous schedule, but still those are good numbers. Nebraska's going to have their hands full. I'm kind of looking through this and trying to figure out how Nebraska is going to get into the national championship game. We still need a little bit of help, you know, to get to this Final Four. But Nebraska might have, just this week is going to be their toughest test. You know, Minnesota at home is not going to be easy, and Iowa on the road is not going to be easy. And surely playing Ohio State, if they get there, isn't going to be an extremely tough game too. But this is the first step, and we actually, even after we lost to Michigan State, after we lost the game, we knew our next test was probably going to be you know, getting by Northwestern and did it. And then you had kind of two games and a bye week. And then you needed to play well against Wisconsin, this Wisconsin game. I thought it was interesting about, I don't know if he, Coach Pelini really knows about Abdullah, but he definitely doesn't want to give Wisconsin any information.
Well, no, I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, he's not 100%, or the coach would say he's 100%, and we're not going to have any problems. I mean, that's what the answer is. So, obviously, he's not a 100%, and that has to be concerning right there. And you brought up an interesting point about Wisconsin's schedule. They've lost to LSU on opening day, and it's hard to tell where those teams are. LSU, as you said a couple of times, that was big then. Maybe it's not as big now. Then you see what LSU does to Alabama. Who knows? That's a four-point game that Wisconsin should have won. They dominated the first half of that game and should have won. Then they lost to Northwestern. Weird, but they did, and it was at Northwestern. But their conference games, Northwestern, Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers, Purdue. Oh, what?
Non-conference. What's their non-conference?
Well, outside, then they had Western Illinois, Bowling Green, South Florida.
Yeah.
And South Florida was a 27-10 game, and I'm guessing when they scheduled that, remember South Florida, I think at one time, a handful of years ago, was ranked as high as number two in the country. So that wasn't probably as a powder puff as it appeared to be. Bowling Green was expected to do some great things in the conference this year in the MAC, and then, you know, whatever Western Illinois is. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. Here we go. It says, I'm not a Division I coach by any means, but I think a big key to Nebraska's game against Wisconsin is going to be the play of our secondary, and if we tackle well in space and read the keys with Nate, Gary, and Cooper, and we can get pressure on Stave. I have a feeling we could draw a couple interceptions, which could be a very huge deal. Nebraska can win, but we have to play well and error-free football. That's what Coach was saying, too.
Yeah, you know, I think tackling well is critical. Here's one thing that I really feel strong about in a game like this, and it's not three and outs. What it is third downs and getting a drive. You know, because, I mean, you can get one first down and then punt, and all you're really doing is changing the field. You know, you get a first down, you know, you get the ball to 20 and you get the ball to the 45 and then you punt and they have to go 80 yards. I mean, it's nice to get the one first down. But what Nebraska has to do is – they can go three and out a couple times, but then when they have to do is get a drive where they get four or five first downs and go down and score. You know, and also, Doug, you can go down and score twice and kick two field goals. You go down and score once and get a touchdown, and you got seven. I mean, so the game is really going to be critical on how we can get some drives down the field. It can't be just one big play. We've got to be able to control the game a little bit.
He sure didn't seem to be too concerned about Drew Brown, place kicker. Missed a couple. I get the sense that he's one of those coaches that these kickers better not cost me a game. You know, I'm not around him very much, but just don't cost me a game. I got other people handling that. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Husker Football Talk, always brought to you by our friends at T&L Irrigation. T&L Irrigation Systems are proven technology that work, certified quality irrigation business for over 55 years. And, folks, they've been doing it not only here in Nebraska, but across the United States and in over 60 countries worldwide. Numerous features on this hydrostatic system that will make you think that life is so much easier. You're putting the money in your pocket from a great crop that you've put in your field, and many of the folks got knocked out this summer from some of the hail storms. Maybe it's just time to reevaluate what you want to do, and T&L, when you want that crop to be harvested, is going to be there for you. T&L Irrigation Systems, a proven technology that works. We'll be back and wrap up our show in a moment.
Source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-4331.
800-900-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Carney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
Doug and Danny's show wrapping things up here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Man, it's basketball time. You want to get the basketball season started? How about getting your kids out for a little three-on-three basketball tournament this Sunday? It's going to be held at Kearney Catholic High School. Starts at noon. Grades 4 through 12 may participate. Teams will be placed in divisions based on the oldest player on that team. You're guaranteed at least three games. Awards for the top two places in each division. And if you get registered by the middle of this week, they'll even throw in a T-shirt there for you. You can find your registration form at kearneycatholic.org. Kearneycatholic.org. Cost is $20 per player. It's 3-on-3. You get to play some hoops, and it's this Sunday at Kearney Catholic High School, the 3-on-3 tournament. Find out more and get registered at kearneycatholic.org. Jimmy, what happened to the Bears, man? What happened to the Bears? That is sad what was witnessed last night. I'm surprised that there's people. It's just, you just get beat down like that. I suppose they're going to win next week, whoever they play.
Yeah, who knows? That happens. Happened a couple times. And this year, more often. But you know what's really weird is there's just a complete overreaction sometimes to that. But, you know, hey, maybe it's time to fire another Chicago Bear football coach.
Jeez. And how about, I didn't see this till this morning. You talk about players doing stupid things. What was the kid from LSU doing? I hope he was just trying to yank the belt on that Alabama player's jersey pants, because that was weird. That was weird. Don't you suspend a kid for something like that?
I
don't care if you're the league. If you're a coach, you got to be.
Yeah, what are you doing? Come here. Let's kind of an end.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, congratulations on that.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's all over social media. Nebraska's also picked up an oral commit for the football team. Wide receiver Stanley Morgan out of New Orleans, 6 foot, 185-pounder. He's in the Rivals 250. He's had offers from Clemson, UCLA, Georgia, and Florida. Didn't go well for UNK this weekend. They've got a home game against Emporia State to wrap up the season Saturday. Hastings College will wrap up the season hosting Nebraska Wesleyan. They're coming off a win against Dort. The coaches, a normal Tuesday spot coming up tomorrow. We talked high school football. We talked high school volleyball. Nebraska volleyball crushes Indiana. They seem to be playing well, although they're in that weaker portion of their schedule right now. They also pick up a commit for 2017. Young lady that's a sophomore in high school in Tennessee says, I'm going to play at Nebraska.
Is that right? At 2017? I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, crazy.
Can you recruit eighth graders?
Well, they're doing it. Seventh-ranked UNK volleyball team. Two big wins to stay in a tie atop the league. They're at Emporia State in Washburn to wrap up the season this weekend. Hastings College fell to Concordia in the GPAC tournament, so their volleyball season is over. Nebraska men's and women's basketball, the regular season begins this week. The Husker women beat Concordia St. Paul in an exhibition 78-46 yesterday. Hastings women won twice. Hastings men split. The UNK basketball season gets underway this week. The women go to 6th-ranked Wayne State Friday to open things up. And then they have another game Saturday, and the Loper men are home this weekend. For soccer, Hastings College women have advanced to the finals. They'll play Concordia Thursday, the last team that's beaten them in Hastings. The men play in the semifinal tomorrow. And you got to see a lot of bonus hockey this week if you went out to the Viero Event Center, Jimmy. Both of them went to shootouts. Tri-City and Muskegon split those games. So now they're on the road. Wrestling out there as well. Nebraska had 8 champions at Wyoming. Dan DeShazer was a runner-up at the Cyclone Invite at Iowa State. Cross country, the MIAAs, the Loper men second. The women finished in 8th. And you heard about the Freedom Trophy. We talked about that at the top of the broadcast. And I tell you what, here's something else.
You got to get that bowling thing to me.
Number one women's bowling team won the opening tournament of the season at the Crusader Classic in Valpo. That's Valparaiso, Indiana. The Huskers captured the tournament title after performing well all 3 days and then beating Arkansas State in the championship match.
What was the final on that? Do you have a final on that?
They played the best 4-1. They
four games
best to 7.
4-1. 4-1. Yeah.
Four yeah. to one. And so that's what happened with Nebraska. And competing at the Leatherneck Classic, the Hastings women finished 8th out of 29 teams.
Yeah, you know, they just didn't have enough. They had too many open frames, you know. Too many open frames.
Careful, this firearm deer season starts this weekend. People are going to be pointing at you.
Okay. Yeah,
careful.
Okay.
Careful. And go ahead. Wrap it up. What do you got for me?
No, I was going to say about that no-hitter I had with that kid, you know, and I never got to finish it. Well, I'll finish it some other week when it's really more exciting.
And I'm sorry.
Well, no, Bo Pelini was talking, and we didn't know about the injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had to stop on that. You know, that's just the way it is, you know. So,
and the finalists, we'll check that this afternoon for the Heisman High School Award, are out. Each state will get whittled down today. That announcement is to come from the area. Gabe Hubbard of Elm Creek, Morgan Studi, Kearney Catholic, Jared Hastings, Giltner, Jacob Kittle, Aurora, Delaney Lemkow, Sutton, Hunter Quinn, Southern Valley, Kaylee Watson of Arapahoe were all among those that were in contention. We'll see who gets it later on today. Want to thank Allison Feeney, Centura Volleyball Coach, for joining us as they go to state for the first time in 26 years. Tomorrow, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper, Kearney Whitewater Rafting Association. I bet you didn't know that we had one of those. We're going to talk about that tomorrow as well, and so much more. State football will continue. Jimmy, survive the week, all right?
Yeah, let's keep warm.
All right, we'll see you, folks. Have a good one.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.